It's coming.
Dig'em.
And it tastes so sweet.
You'll hop when you eat.
Yep.
Hold on to your tummy. We got something good.
Hey, did you know?
If I had my way, I'd start every day
with my hauntingly delicious cereal.
It's so good. I could wrinkle every time I eat it.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Serial Killer. I am your host this week, your main host, Maria Spertolozzi. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Anastasia Washington.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. How are you this week, Anastasia?
I am doing well. What's better, you know, than starting off the week with a little murder and cereal?
And some cereal, yeah.
Not your murder. Like, that would be...
You know. That'd be weird. That would be a weird, excited.
And it wouldn't be a great start. Yeah, yeah.
All right. So this week, we are doing divorce murders. These are a mix of murders of people who got divorced and it ended badly. So there was a murder, or people who... there was a murder instead of a divorce.
Yeah. Like, you can just divorce people. I want everyone to know that.
Yeah, it's okay. No one will judge you. Like,
and prenups are a great idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I am pairing this with Space Jam 2. Space Jam, A New Legacy. I don't think it's even called Space Jam 2. Serial.
Okay.
Because there's no way that I can murder this serial, or not this serial, but murder this movie. It got developed despite all the best efforts it got made. So I'm just divorcing myself from it. And so after this serial, I will be done with Space Jam, A New Legacy. And if anyone mentions it to me, it's who, what, huh? Never heard of her.
Fair enough.
It was so bad. That movie was terrible. I'm sorry if you enjoyed that movie. Good for you. Enjoy what you like. But I just... Don Cheadle better have gotten paid, like, $200 million to make that movie.
I hope so.
Anyway, this is a chocolate-based cereal with little marshmallow basketballs and marshmallow bunny heads.
The bunny head's a little disturbing.
And then basketballs, which is just a circular orange marshmallow.
Does it taste like a basketball? I hope not.
Maybe. Oh, hey, this is still within its window of freshness, so that's exciting.
Freshness window.
Oh, this is not chocolate. This is like Fruity Pebbles flavor.
Really?
No. It's like between a Fruit Loop and Trix.
The Trix are for kids. So is it good?
There's a rabbit on these too. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is really good. I'm actually
so
really
knife up dry.
Yeah.
Would it make a good cereal treat?
Oh, that would. Also, that you can make your box into a basketball hoop. I don't know what you use as the ball.
The cereal?
Oh, you grab the cereal. Yeah, you use the cereal. Duh.
That's so messy.
It literally says grab 15 marshmallow basketballs. You know what they should have done? They should have also gotten a deal with, like, Jet Puffed or whatever, and made tiny basketball marshmallows.
Yeah. Or just had, like, one of those little toys in there.
Executives, I'm just doing your job for you at this point.
They're like, thank you.
Anyway. But it's the problem with cereals like this is that bowl has two marshmallows in it and like 30 pieces of regular cereal.
Yeah, I don't understand the marshmallow ratio of cereals.
It's, I guess, I don't know. I got nothing.
I mean, I don't really love marshmallows, so
I don't.
Fine.
they get like chewy and weird.
Yeah, if it was like a real marshmallow, it'd be fine. But don't dry enjoy. Marshmallows are gross. Better with milk? Same.
I'd say the same, but I'd still give it a knife up.
Knife up. Listen, Space Jam the movie may have not impressed Maria, but Space Jam the cereal?
All right. So, we're going to start with a quite famous one now. Okay. We'll just go over it real quick. So, I have five medias for you, which is Betty Broderick, who's famous from the Dirty John podcast and then television show. And also, there are like four books written about her. I think one written by her, if I remember correctly.
That might be interesting to read her side of the story.
I think so. I can't remember. I will get there when we get to that part of the Wikipedia page.
Exactly.
Betty Broderick, she was born in 1947 in New York. She grew up the sort of middle of six children. And then she went on to graduate high school and get a college degree in early childhood education. She met her husband, her future husband, Dan Broderick, at Notre Dame, which is in Indiana. Fun fact. He was the oldest of a large Irish Catholic family. Betty was from an Italian Catholic family. And the couple got married 4 years after meeting in 1969. Hey,
69.
They got married at the Immaculate Conception Church, which I just love that people name churches that. It's ridiculous. Betty returned from the honeymoon pregnant. Hooray!
So not an Immaculate Conception.
No, they ultimately had five kids. Kim, the oldest, then Lee, then Daniel, and then Rhett, and a stillborn child. Or not stillborn, but died shortly after birth. Yeah. So after their first daughter was born, Dan completed his doctorate degree, and then he announced his intention to combine it with a law degree, and so he enrolled in Harvard Law School. So they moved to Cambridge, and she becomes the main provider while he goes to law school, and he also takes out a student loan. He then gets hired by a law firm in San Diego, so they all move to La Jolla, which is a super fancy rich part of San Diego. Yeah. It's also where all of the sea lions hang out.
They know what's up.
So Betty raised the kids, but also worked part-time and would sell MLMs like Tupperware or Avon, which honestly, back in the day, those products were like really good. So in 1982, they have been married for 13 years at this point. Dan hires a 21-year-old Dutch-American named Linda Kolkena, a former flight attendant, to be his legal assistant. And shortly after, about a year later, Betty suspects that Dan was having an affair with her, which he was, but he denies it and keeps like gaslighting her.
Makes her feel like, like making her feel crazy.
Yeah. And he does this for like 2 years until eventually he moves out in February 1985. Betty gets really erratic and she starts like just dropping her kids off at his house randomly. So eventually he gets sole custody of them. She says that he confesses to having the affair, but I don't think he ever officially confessed to having the affair.
But obviously it happened.
So then this crazy divorce ensues, Broderick versus Broderick. It's actually like studied in law schools in divorce law because it was one of the first cases to bring up the issue of a woman supporting a husband through
law school or through like higher education that benefited him ultimately. But, you know, in the case of getting divorced, will no longer, like, it doesn't benefit her that he's a doctor now that they're getting
Right.
divorced. So it got like real confusing and complicated. By then, Dan was a very prominent local lawyer. And Betty claims that because of that, he made it really difficult for her to find a good lawyer for her divorce to like represent her in their divorce. Her kids also were like stuck in the middle of this in a really shitty way. And Betty claimed multiple times that Dan was using them against her. And to just
Probably.
like, yeah, he also sold their house and most of their assets. And the divorce, 4 years after being filed, was finalized in 1989. And that's when Betty became very erratic. She left hundreds of very aggressive messages on Dan's answering machine, very profane saying very profane things, ignored restraining orders, vandalized his house, his cars. Yeah, drove a car into his front door, even though her kids were inside the house at the time. And then Dan
Not her best
married
moments.
his, yeah, no. And then Dan married his legal assistant. And that's when Betty broke. She bought a Smith and Wesson revolver like 1 month before they got married. And then they got married and 7 months later, she drove to their new house in Balboa Park in San Diego, which is another super nice, fancy
Very nice
neighborhood.
area. Yeah.
Used a key she had stolen from her daughter's keys to enter the house and shot them both. Yeah, it happened at 5:30 a.m., 2 days before Betty's 42nd birthday. She then goes to trial, obviously. How many? Oh, yeah, she had multiple trials because the first one ended with a hung jury because two of the jurors held out for manslaughter, citing a lack of intent. So they had a mistrial and then had to be retried. And the second time around, the verdict came down as 2 counts of second degree murder. She was sentenced to 2 consecutive terms of 15 years to life plus 2 years for illegal use of a firearm. So she has been incarcerated since the day she committed the murders in 1989. And yeah, she was denied parole in November 2011, and again in January 2017, and she won't be eligible again until January 2032, at which point she'll be 84 years old.
I doubt they'll let her out ever. I'm not sure they should. She seems a little unstable. I mean, I understand, like, he was a very cruel man. This is not nice things, but
It was not a good marriage. He was not
no.
a great dude. Yeah, so that's the first one. The second
Okay.
is the murder of Maggie Murdaugh by her husband. So Maggie Murdaugh was born in South Carolina. And was born into a very rich family. She had multiple children, Buster, Paul, and Buster and Paul, yeah.
Okay. Names. Good names.
Yeah, and unfortunately, her son Paul was also shot to death when she was.
Sure.
She had brought up getting a divorce to her husband previously, and it did not go down very well. But she thought that everything was fine, that they would figure it out, and then she was murdered in June 2021.
Getting divorced, you
Yeah,
guys.
she was just a super nice woman. 2 sons who she loved. Her son Paul was not the best. He had some criminal charges against him that he was figuring out, but she was really sweet and loving and just wasn't, didn't jive with her husband, Alex Murdaugh.
What an ass.
So that's Maggie Murdaugh. Then there's in Pennsylvania, June 2021, law enforcement officials said a father murdered his two young children before setting fire to their house and then turning the gun on himself. 44-year-old Richard A. Zimmer was becoming increasingly upset over his impending divorce. By June 15th, Zimmer's wife had grown concerned that he had become very angry at her as the two tried to reach a settlement on child custody and financial matters. The report stated, citing a letter that included in court records. An attorney for the wife, Melissa Zimmer, submitted a June 15th letter to the divorce court, further detailing concerns about his state of mind. The letter was basically saying he was very angry and that the court just wanted him to follow the law and go along smoothly so that it was in the kids' best interests. He failed to appear in his next contempt of court hearing, and it concerned family members then traveled to his house. Before they even arrived, they could like see the smoke and smell it rising in the distance. So firefighters were called, where they discovered the bodies of him, his 13-year-old daughter, and his 10-year-old son. And each of the bodies were found in a different room of the house. And they said that both of the children were asleep when they were shot. So at least there's that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a small
Like the
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah.
I think I remember
But
hearing
yeah.
about this one. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. So then yeah, he is probably still waiting trial. Yeah, and then there's a similar one that happened in 2009. There were two brothers, Duncan and Jack, who were kidnapped by their father. He failed to return them to their mother, his ex-wife. And they were like, oh, okay, maybe he's in the area. And then the family put out an Amber Alert eventually. Authorities found the bodies in Leroy, Illinois. Which is, I'm guessing, not close to Chicago. And then canceled the Amber Alert, but authorities say the bodies were found inside the car registered to Michael Connolly. They received a call about a suspicious vehicle in a secluded area, and they came to examine the vehicle and found the two dead boys in the back seat, and then Michael Connolly was found about 60 feet away from the car. Yeah, he had a restraining order and there was a restraining order against him because he was harassing his ex-wife. They divorced 2 years previously.
Why take the kids with you, though?
So that's that. And then the last one is an interesting situation. It was covered on, I believe, 48 Hours. It might have been 2020. But this happened in 2018. There was a woman, Amy Mullis, and she was found. I should not laugh at this, but she was found grievously injured on her family farm in Iowa. She was face down with a corn rake sticking out of the back of her head.
Oh my God.
But the farm tool, that tool only has four tines, and there were six holes in the back of her head.
Oh, so double. Okay.
Yeah, and so everyone thought that they had like a fun, happy, lovely marriage, but actually Amy had been having affairs on and off for a while, and divorce could have meant the loss of the farm, which was worth millions of dollars. So it was a very contentious situation. Still, yeah, 48 hours. It was covered on 48 hours.
Still, divorce is just, you know.
Yeah, and so the husband, Todd, told investigators that he didn't know what happened. He assumed she fell on the rake, even though she was found face twice. Down with a rake in the back of her head.
Yeah, twice on the back of her head. Okay.
His son, his 13-year-old son, told police that he was with his father working in the hog barn when his mom was injured. The number of puncture wounds combined with the couple's marital problems led investigators to think otherwise. Always, you always look at the husband first. Mm-hmm. He was arrested and charged with murder.
Yeah, and also wasn't so, an owl.
About a year later, the trial finally happens, and it's a big like kerfuffle. Her family, her friends, the media, it's a very, very well-attended trial. And it was covered by court TV. And they argued that she had been murdered, but of course the prosecution argued that, or the defense argued that it was an accident, yeah.
I don't know how you accidentally do that.
They mostly argued that he didn't have the opportunity to do it, so she might have been murdered, but it wasn't him, you know? Because you don't have to prove that it just for sure didn't happen. You just have to prove within a reasonable doubt.
Doubt, yeah.
So it was very aggressive. Yeah, it was a very aggressive trial. They brought in medical examiners. They brought in character witnesses. To talk about how great she was. Eventually comes down to the fact that it just doesn't make sense. There's evidence of a possible struggle on Amy's hands and knees and face. They bring pictures of corn rakes into the courtroom to show everybody.
Like how they look.
Right. Yeah. The most anticipated witness was their son, because he was there the day that she died. And so he chose not to show his face on 48 hours, but, you know, he was there at the trial, so he was on the closed circuit TV.
Testifying as your...
Yeah, and so he's saying he's with his dad. The whole time I'm with my dad, I didn't lose sight of him. He talks about how him and his dad were really close. They would work together on the farm, go on hunting trips and fishing trips and stuff like that.
Poor kid.
Yeah. What, you don't want to work on a farm?
No, I just meant like, well, no, I don't. That's a whole separate issue. But no, I do not. But like, just like having to like testify like this shit about your father. You know what I mean? It's just like, no.
Yeah. So he was describing what happened on the farm and the division of labor and what was happening that day. He was setting up portable heaters because they were getting some piglets. His dad was setting up equipment to provide water to the pens, and his mom was cleaning the lights, which, depending on the type of lights, they can emit different gases that are dangerous when you're like not unplugging them properly.
Okay.
Those like crazy, those office lights, those like long tube ones, you have to like handle them a special way. There's like stuff that you press on them so that they're not just like emitting halogen gas, because that's how they run. So he was saying she would get on a bucket and reach up to the lights and clean them out. And he said she was getting dizzy when she got on the bucket. She had to hold herself from falling off. And then when she got down, her legs were kind of shaky. 4 days before this, his mom had undergone an outpatient medical procedure. That was her first time out of the house at this like farming day.
Something pretty
intense, so. Yeah. And he was like, I remember saying, are you all right? Do you need help cleaning those? And she was like, no, I'm fine. But then she got dizzy again. And he was like, I don't think it's a good idea for you to stay out here. You might get hurt. And so he said he wanted his mom to go into the house and rest, but asked if she could, on her way, get the pet carrier out of the red shed, which was about 30 yards away from the barn. Dad said, if you can get it in the shop, that would get it to the shop, that would be help. But if you can't, just leave it and we'll get it. And then she left, and his dad and Tristan kept working for another hour and a half, and then headed to the front of the farm. And that's when they looked out the window and saw that the pet carrier wasn't where he asked Amy to put it. So he was like, oh, well, I'll just go get it myself. And then Tristan went to the barn and discovered that she was on her hands and knees with a corn rake sticking out of her head. Damn. Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's possible. It just seems improbable.
It's super crazy. I know. Yeah. So then they call 911, and there's like a 911 transcript that I'm not going to read because I hate 911 calls. But they get her to a hospital, and she ends up passing away. You know, they tell the police, I was with my dad this whole time. Like, it was this freak accident. I just saw her. The trial goes on to discuss the affairs of the wife, Amy, I believe. Yeah. And she would, yeah, bring her lovers to the farm and have sex with them in these barns. I don't know. Shrug emoji. Okay. You do you. I don't know. I'm not in this marriage.
Yeah. Like. Not sure what that has to do with a rake in the back of her head, but
yeah. Yeah, I guess it proves that there's motive for the prosecution, because they can be like, well, look. Yeah, so a week after testimony, it was now up to the jury to decide if Todd Mullins had murdered his wife Amy.
Did he do it?
Yeah. So they did 7 hours of deliberation and finally reached a guilty verdict. Guilty in first degree murder. Yeah, he was then led out of the courtroom in chains. And the jury was like, yeah, we like talked through all the different scenarios, and it ultimately came down to, why didn't he just call 911 immediately? They tried to like help her out of the barn because she still had a pulse and do all this stuff, but really he should have just called 911 when he found her.
Okay.
Yeah, and so that's Todd Mullis killed his wife with a rake. There's this crazy great CBS News article that I will save and post later on our social media.
Oh yes.
If anyone wants to like go down that rabbit hole.
I think many of us need to figure out what's happening.
It's super interesting. It's really interesting. There's like all sorts of stuff. There's a bunch of a bunch of internet searches of his that are super weird, that the jurors were like, I don't understand this. It's a lot to go through if you are interested. So I'll post it later this week.
Sweet.
So yeah, that's divorce murders, the untimely, unfortunate people who got angry after, or should have just sucked it up and gotten a divorce.
Yeah, I mean, knife down for murder always. And knife down for, you can just get a, divorce. You don't have to murder people. Just do that.
Just get a divorce. Like, lawyers are expensive, but they're a lot cheaper than, a whole ass funeral and grief and all of that. So.
Yeah, and plus you're going to have to get a lawyer anyway when you murder somebody.
Exactly. And that can be way more complicated.
It's way more complicated.
It's just easier to cut it off at the pass and just not murder anybody.
Yeah, no murdering. And I guess knife up for Space Jam cereal.
Knife up for Space Jam cereal, but knife down for Space Jam, the new legacy or whatever the heck it's called. I don't like it. Well, maybe go away.
I don't think anybody is cheering.
Away from me. But yeah, thank you for listening to our podcast. You can find us on all social medias at Pod Serial Killer. You can email us at podserialkiller@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at Maria Longname, and I also am usually on the Serial Killer Instagram, so you can hit me up over there. Where can they find you, Anastasia?
You can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, Anastasia TV on YouTube.
Nice. Awesome. Well, this was a fun week in serial, but not as fun in murder.
Fair enough.
But we'll see you next time. So stay safe.
And don't be a dick.
Bye. Bye.